Well, hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have something you'd like to add to a conversation, and it's the top of the hour, 3 o'clock Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can do that right now at 844-322-2742. That number good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and we want to hear from you. Well, Richard, hope you and your family had a wonderful Labor Day holiday weekend.
Yes, we did. It was, there was a lot of fun. There was work.
Yeah.
There was beautiful weather.
Yes, there was.
However, it's still colored by the tragedy down south.
Yeah.
And heard a wonderful sermon on Sunday about how to care by grace.
Hmm.
It was awesome. It's not about, well, I've got to do this or God's going to be angry.
Yeah.
It's, I get to do this.
Right,
look,
sure.
He's given me some resources I can share. So, and you know, we here in Texas and along the Gulf Coast have learned about this over the last 2 weeks, and it looks like we might be getting to learn it again in Florida or the East Coast. And so our prayers are with everybody who's in the path of danger, the Leeward Islands, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Haiti.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that time of year. So get ready, folks.
Yeah.
You know, so with these storms happening, one of the things that I've been seeing on the web and hearing in some of the emails I receive or the telephone calls I've answered is a whole bunch of fear. And the main reason there's a whole bunch of fear is that people are saying, oh, my goodness, is God getting ready to drop the hammer?
Yeah, yeah.
And let me assure you, God doesn't drop the hammer on his children. God doesn't even drop the hammer on people who aren't his children. He tries to win them to his kindness leads us to repentance, not a hammer.
Right.
So this month, as it would work out, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We planned this month, months ago.
Yeah.
This month's focus is prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. Maybe the biggest one coming up this month, if you haven't heard, you're hearing it now, September 23rd, there's supposed to be a big deal event in the sky that's supposed to fulfill Revelation 12.
Mm.
Okay, we're not going to go there today. What I want to do today is talk about why prophecy and what is prophecy. I'm going to read you two passages, and then we'll talk about it. The first one is out of 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration
right there.
So, we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. So what he's talking about here is that the prophetic word pointing forward to Jesus was made more certain because Jesus actually came.
Yeah.
And at his baptism and again at the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him."
Yeah.
So Jesus is the one who made all those Old Testament prophecies certain. Do you think all the prophecies yet to be fulfilled are going to find their certainty in Jesus Christ?
I would guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's also an interesting little phrase here at the very beginning of this. Is, for we did not follow, quote, cleverly devised tales. If you look over in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul uses the same word in almost exactly the same way. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. If you want to remove the fear from prophecy, then let prophecy, one, point you to Jesus, and two, in our day and age, we're not looking back at the law. Jesus fulfilled that law. He was victorious over sin and death. And so now we preach the gospel. And we don't use clever words, because when you use clever words, you make void the cross of Christ. So if there's anything in prophecy that is causing you to fear, please know that's not coming from God, right, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit. That's coming straight from the devil. Jesus is already victorious, completely, utterly victorious. That's what we're going to be focusing on all this month.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yes, indeed. Well, we would love to hear from you, friends. If you have a question on this particular issue, we'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. And if this is the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, well, we would love love to hear from you right now. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Give us a call right now if you can. And as our thanks for your gift in this month of September, we want to send you a copy of our new 2-CD audio series called The Trail of Assurance. Now, of course, as Richard was saying, this comes out of the book of Revelation, and it explains the hope and assurance we have in Jesus, cutting through the noise and the fear of legalism that characterizes most teaching on prophecy today, and we're going to be talking about that through the month. Well, to receive your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net or click donate and click donate, or you can call 844-322-2742 and make your gift. The Trail of Assurance, our gift to you this month, as you make your gift to help ensure that Basic Gospel continues to be available to share the truth with you. Again, donate it online at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. Remember also, friends, that the best way for those of you who live outside the U.S. or Canada to make a contribution to Basic Gospel is simply to go to PayPal. That's the best opportunity right now, and we'd love for you to do that. We'd love to hear from our international listeners, yes, and our friends. Well, Richard had a call, an email from Dwight through oneplace.com, and it concerns 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. And I'll read it for you. It says, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So he would like an explanation of that particular passage.
Okay. First of all, a slight correction. That's 1 Corinthians 13, 3. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are one of Paul's greatest explanations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he makes a whole bunch of points, but what he does is a very classic argument style for him. He has an A section. That's what we see as chapter 12. He has an A primed section, which is kind of a restatement. That's chapter 14. And then the center of the argument for us is chapter 13. So what he was dealing with was a Corinthians church that was just completely split over the least important things. I mean, who did you first hear the gospel from? Well, I heard it from Paul. I heard it from Peter. I heard it from Apollos. And on and on and on. They were mistreating each other. They were disrespecting each other, especially in Christ. There was nothing good about this church. For some of you, you may recognize that church because it's your church. Fear not. Fear not. The way of love is the way of being led by the Holy Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so in verse 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned but have not love, I have gained nothing. What is Paul saying? He's saying the same thing that he said in Romans 14, when he is talking about food and, you know, who's the vegetarian, who's the meat eater, and all of this stuff that's going on. And he concludes it by saying, did you know that anything that doesn't come from faith is sin?
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying here. You can do absolutely everything that on the outside looks good. You will be praised by the world. You will be given awards. You will be invited to banquets to say what it is you have to say. And if you haven't done that by the power and grace of God, by faith, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Now, people will be blessed by it, and that's a good thing. That's why in this mess with Harvey, it has been so wonderful to watch people from all stripes, all belief systems, all colors, all, it doesn't matter. It's just people getting together to help each other.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. From an eternal perspective, some of those people have been helping by grace through faith. Other people have been helping in their own strength. The people being helped are blessed in both cases.
Correct.
But the people doing the helping by grace through faith, those are the ones who have gained not more approval by God, but have gained a deeper perspective of God's love as it's poured through them to other people. That's what we want to focus on. That's life, living with the love of God flowing through you to other people.
Absolutely. Well, Dwight, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you have a question and can't get to us while we're actually on the air live in the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time office hour, well, we would love to hear from you. But if you'll just call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, you can record your question and we'll be glad to address it, just like we're going to address other questions as we go forward. Right now, a call from Denver, Colorado. Let's go talk to Sean. Sean, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, Sean.
The honor to hear you. Thanks for what you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to comment about your mention about how people were calling in. They said they were afraid of things. And there's that human part of us. It's understandable. But if we're in Christ, there's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, believe me, I'm not the person I need to be. I sort of struggling in there. But I know that when I die, I'm going to be with them. I did accept them. I got them in my life. And, you got Kim Jong and all these guys. Yeah, they could do some stuff, but if we're in Christ, we have nothing to be worried about, you know. And that's why we got to always stay in the Word and fellowship with other believers so that can be reinforced, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean, thank you for that. I mean, that's exactly the truth. In Christ, we have absolute assurance. Outside of Christ, it's anybody's guess. All bets are off, okay?
Exactly. But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I work for a security company. I've been there during security for years. I'm from Connecticut, New York. I did stuff out there, and thank goodness no shootings, but over the time, but he always kept an eye. But I also knew, you know, I wasn't worried, you know, and even now, especially since I got back in the Word and over time from coming out here. But I trust him. You know, I just trust him, and I have faith. And just, again, I just got to just have the faith and trust he'll keep me safe, you know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know,
temporarily.
The amazing thing about fear, especially in the spiritual realm, is that, and it happens in the temporal realm as well, fear tends to freeze people.
Yeah.
You're in the security business. The worst thing that could possibly happen to you or to one of your clients, when a threat is perceived, they freeze. I mean, I'm not an expert at this, but I've read a little bit. The first thing they tell you to do, move. Get away, do something, move, don't stand still. Fear freezes you, and spiritually, fear freezes us as well. And when you're frozen, nothing's happening. The assurance that Christ gives allows us to take the next step. I mean, I can't plan today. I have no idea how to plan today for something that could happen even tomorrow or later this afternoon. What I can do today is focus on Jesus and walk by faith, and learn a little bit more about who he is and what he has done for me and is willing to do through me. And if I do that moment by moment by moment, when the time comes, if the threat is real, whatever the threat is, I won't freeze. I will keep walking by grace, through faith, and whatever happens, I still belong to Jesus. One of the things I have been very aware of is that a statement that says you perform to the level of your training. And if in the spiritual sense, if we have trained ourselves to keep our eyes on Jesus, when the hard times come, when the threats come, when even death comes, we will still be focused on Jesus and walking by grace through faith as the Spirit works through us. It's as simple as that. It's very much more difficult than that, obviously, but that's the point.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Sean, thank you for your call. You're for our listeners, Sean is listening in Denver on KRKS, our great Denver area affiliate,
yes.
And we're glad that glad to know you're listening, Sean. Hope you'll keep in touch with us.
Will do.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, man.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Quickly, I'd got to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our friend Brad. Hey, Brad, how are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. Richard, you stayed on your side of the fence this Labor Day, right, and left the trees alone?
I did.
Okay, that's great. This month's topic is the cross.
It's prophecy.
Prophecy.
Oh, boy.
Okay, anyway. Call again, Brad.
Hey, thanks anyway.
Anyway, what I was calling about is from the very first email from Dwight. And you mentioned something very interesting to me about the chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians. Mm-hmm. And I just have a really pointed question. Some time ago, I copied the cut and pasted the entire New Testament into a Word document. And wherever it said tongues, I put in the words known language. And most of it kind of made sense, but then I got to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, which, paraphrasing, says, "He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto God, not unto men." Mm-hmm. And to me, that just didn't make any sense. Can you help me out?
Hard passage, Richard.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned for Friday's edition.
Okay.
No.
I'll clear.
This is fine. It is apparent that Paul in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is allowing for what people call today a prayer language. And he's allowing for it on the basis of an individual
Absolutely.
And his own or her own interaction with the Spirit. He
Amen.
Also is very clear to say, don't bring that into the larger public arena. Because no one will be edified. No one will know what you're talking about. It's pointless. Between, you know, with your conversation with God in your closet or in your quiet time or whenever it occurs, we know that the Spirit translates what we say to God. I mean, Paul tells us that in Romans 8. We don't even know what to pray for.
Yeah.
And so we know that the conversation that's going on between us and God is being filtered by the Holy Spirit so that we can hear God and God hears us. And I'm perfectly okay with that. But if someone shows up in a public meeting and then like Paul says here in verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Prophecy is done in the language everybody understands and points to Jesus. When someone's speaking in a tongue at church and it is not in a language that everybody understands, the person who's speaking may be enjoying themselves, but it's not edifying the church. And what Paul is talking about more than anything else in this whole letter, 1 Corinthians, is let's edify the church. Build each other up in the faith rather than tearing each other apart.
I definitely appreciate your explanation there. It's exactly what I believe it is to be. But the reason for asking in this context is I've heard the discussion on basic gospel, and I've heard it from Andrew, and just everybody discusses everything about this gift. But when it comes to 1 Corinthians 14, you just pass over that particular scripture and go on down to the public doing of this gift, and I couldn't agree with you more. I just would like to see it when the conversation does come up that you would be the one to give it, because you put it
well
expertly from the Holy Spirit.
Don't overstate it, because the questions we get are not about 14:2.
I understand.
It's more about, do you have to speak in tongues to be saved? And the answer there is clearly no. So,
I absolutely agree with you. I'm just talking in the context of when you have discussed the broader subject of this gift.
Yes, in the broader subject of the gift, we're talking about known languages.
Yeah.
But in the context of freedom, don't use your freedom to harm someone else. What happens between you and God is between you and God, the same as it is for me. So that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So.
Brad, thanks for your call. Appreciate it here. Quickly to Greenville, Texas, going to talk to Kate, and welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
You're doing great.
Well, hey, I had a question and a comment. I can start off with a question if you like.
Sure.
So my question is, when it talks about in the New Testament in regards to marriage, how in heaven there will be no marriage.
Yeah.
So my question is, will there be no ceremony of marriage, or when my wife and I, if we, you know, when we both go to heaven, will we just be so blissfully enjoying God that we won't even notice each other? Or kind of, what is that?
I don't know. What Jesus said, remember that when he was asked the question, the Sadducees, who don't believe in a resurrection, tried to trick him. Using the Jewish law of Levirate marriage, where if a husband died or a husband died, then his brother was supposed to marry the woman, and then if he died, another brother, and he goes through this whole thing, and then the Sadducees said, well, in heaven, whose wife will she be? And the great trick question, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? And Jesus said, you don't understand. Marriage in heaven is not like marriage here. And in fact, he describes us as like angels. And so what I have to say is, that's what Jesus said. I've never been to heaven. I don't know what it's going to be like, other than to know that whatever Jesus has planned for us is going to be infinitely better than anything we know now. And some of the marriages that I know about are incredible. I mean, they should be in a picture in the dictionary beside the word marriage. Pay attention to these people. Whatever God's got for us coming up is going to be better than that. And that's all I have to leave it there. I don't want to speculate about what it's going to be or not going to be. I just know that God doesn't give us something as blessed and glorious as marriage and then take it away just to be mean.
Right.
He's going to do amazing things for us, and we'll see when we get there.
Okay. All right. And then I guess just my comment in light of the topic of prophecy, it says in the word that young men will see visions and old men will see dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so just something that I experienced as a young child was one of those visions. And if you could give me probably one and a half minute, I could tell you about that.
Unfortunately, we've got exactly 1.5 minutes before the close, so we're going to have to skip that today. But if you'd like, write it up and send it in to us. We'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kate, thank you for your call.
Yeah, thanks for your call.
Great to hear from you. Hope you'll keep listening. Call again. I want to remind you, friends, that we do have Hard Passages editions each Friday on Basic Gospel. If you have something that's bothering you, a question about a passage of Scripture that's kind of causing chills to run up and down your back, well, let us hear about it. We'd love to address it on Basic Gospel. I want to remind you also, friends, that... And say thanks for your gift this month to Basic Gospel. We're going to send you our new 2-CD audio series called Trail of Assurance. It comes out of the book of Revelation and explains the hope and assurance we have in Jesus, cutting through the noise and the confusion and fear that legalism is characterized in so many who teach prophecy from the pulpit. And to receive your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click donate. Or you can donate by phone, as always, at 844-322-2742. Trail of Assurance, our gift to you this month as you make your gift to help Basic Gospel stay on the air with the good news that sets you free. Again, donate at basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. And remember, friends, those of you who live outside the U.S. or Canada, PayPal is your best way to donate to Basic Gospel. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll be back for another live edition tomorrow at the same time. I hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.